as 311 saying, you've got to bet on yourself. And this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And I was really.
Welcome to episode 58 of the Fat Man Chronicles. I am Pete, and sitting alongside me as always is my beautiful wife, Gretchen. And we are a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. How you doing tonight?
I'm good.
So we don't have a bottle.
No. We had one earlier.
What was in that bottle? Do you remember?
Son of a son.
Son of a son. Look at that.
I can't remember.
Well, and easy to pronounce, which is always good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we had one earlier.
Yeah, we had a 2013 Son of a Son Cabernet with some friends.
Yes.
Dan and Dana, who are in.
In town.
In town. And we were lucky enough that they came by.
Well, we had wine for them.
Well, that's true, too. But, I mean, I think they would like to see us regardless.
Maybe.
Maybe Dana.
Yeah, well, they got to see Michaela and the kids.
That's true.
So that draws anyone.
But the wine was good when we had it.
It was. It was delicious. So now we just have water. Well, I have water.
Well,
you have
nothing. Yeah, I forgot to bring mine down, so this could get ugly. I might have to pause it.
Nice.
Which I'm not exactly sure how to do.
No, and I can't carry the show by myself.
I'm sorry, but you do carry the show by yourself. Did you see the post that I made? So our friend Kevin posted a blog.
Oh, yeah.
And did you see?
The president of hashtag Team Gretchen. Yeah, I did see that. That was funny.
I mean, seriously, though, if you guys go on to our Facebook page, Fat Man Chronicles, click on the link and go read Kevin's blog.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I haven't read it yet.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I won't spoil it for you.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, I don't think it's like a nail biter or.
Maybe.
Oh. All
right. You never know.
You never know.
So anyway, it's only been a few days. We recorded on Tuesday. It's Saturday night because this is how we roll.
This is how we spend our Saturday night. Kids are in bed.
But we promised two episodes. What's the week to you? Is it Sunday through Saturday or Monday through Sunday?
Monday through Sunday.
Yeah, me too. So that's why I think saying we're going to have two this week, it's okay.
It's okay.
To get it out. Late.
Monday starts the work week and that starts the end. Even though, like, when I look at my calendar, I have it set up Sunday to Saturday. Because, you know, you can adjust your calendar to be like, oh, what do you want your first day of the week to be? But, I still say Monday is the start of a week.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm counting getting this out tonight.
As two in a week.
As two in a week.
It counts.
Well, even if it wasn't Sunday as the end of the week, if I get it out tonight before midnight,
then it's Central, no matter who, but
then it's good either way, right?
Exactly.
I'm good to go.
You're good.
Well, how about in these few days, these 5 days, have you had any more revelations of views from the couch?
Well, I've been binging. I had a lot to get through because with Mom in town last week, I was way behind on my Bravo shows and all my shows and stuff. So I did binge through. I'm almost caught up, I feel. On a lot of my shows, so that's good news. I'm very happy to say, like, my Unanchored, my new obsession with Unanchored, they finally got in a fight.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so that was good to see, and it was, of course, between the women, and it was over something stupid. Actually, it wasn't all that stupid. Like, one of the girls, like, so there's a couple on the trip. Like, they've been dating for about a year now, I want to say. And they're moved, like, she lives in New York. She's a doctor. She's moving across the country to live with this, you know, giving up her career in New York, moving across to California so they can pursue their relationship and stuff. Well, apparently he slept with one of the other girls on the boat.
Well, that's not a stupid reason, then.
No, it's not.
Well, although the girls fighting, And so I never understand this. So
it was before they actually started dating. So it's not like he cheated on her.
Oh, well, I thought you meant like while they're on the boat.
No, I didn't finish yet. No, oh. She's on the boat with them. She's on the vacation with them is what I meant.
Oh, well, if it was before.
It was before, but the girls were good friends and the girls, and she knew that she had a crush on him and stuff. So it's kind of breaking girl code by, going around and be like sleeping with them and stuff. So, but anyway, so that was the latest fight. So I was happy that there's finally some drama on the boat. And yeah, so yeah, I'm still liking Unanchored and really would love to do one of those vacations one day.
Yeah, you've made that abundantly clear.
I know. It just would be so much fun. It sounds like fun. So anyways, but other than that, usual Bravo shows, my 90 Day Fiancé. The season's coming to an end pretty soon. Everyone's only got like a matter of days left to wed before they have to leave. And tensions are getting up there. And there's some, like the one guy there. So there's a couple that she's from Russia and she was here for about a month and she got pregnant and now like they're going to get married. Even though they only knew each other for a month, but hey, they're having a baby. They had a baby. So he flew to Russia to be there for the birth of his son, which was great. But he's like 19, like they're super young. And the kids, the boy is really young, like maturity wise, I want to say too. So obviously, this is going on now and tensions between Russia and U.S., not a lot of K-1 visas, people coming over to the U.S. during this time. And so he's like, well, I'll just take my son and she can stay behind. It's like, it's like, I'm just going to take my newborn away from the mother. No, you don't do that. Like, he's not thinking right. It's just weird. I don't know. He's too young.
Out of all the things that I thought you were going to bring up from that show, that was not the one. Because I watched part of that with you.
You watched part of it, yeah.
That show is ridiculous.
It's so wrong. Then you have like the woman from Indonesia who like her family's all rich and all this stuff, and she wants her fiance to give up his parental rights because she doesn't understand why he has to pay child support for her son. So for his kid.
But you can't just, so if you don't want to pay,
right,
you can't just say, oh, no, not the father,
right,
and stop paying child support. But that was the part that I watched with you,
yeah.
And that, yeah. I don't even understand. I can't even speak about it. It was so horrendous. The fact that that's on television.
I know. It gets even worse, because then it gets worse. Like, then she, like, basically, so then he has, like, a couple of kids. He has three children, and, like, the middle kid was living with them. And the one she's older, so he doesn't pay child support for that one. And like, she just like kicked him out of the house. She kicked her out of the house. Like, you need to leave. She didn't want her living in her house anymore. And he just lets her, like the dad just lets her. It's like, what is, cause she's like, well, I'll just go back to Indonesia then. He's like, no, don't leave me. Yes, my child, leave the house. You're no longer wanted here anymore. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, that show should not be on the air. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of that this time around. Usually it's like fighting between like the spot. Like, it doesn't involve like other members of the family typically, like children of one of the people that are getting married. So it's weird. But it makes for good TV.
I wouldn't call that good TV.
Entertaining TV?
No.
No? It's entertaining. I watch it.
Blood-boiling TV?
Blood-boiling.
Maybe.
No. So anyway, that's about it.
All right.
Have a good on the treadmill, sons.
Yeah, you've got to, we got to get you back on the treadmill. So I've got to do my part.
Yeah.
In the morning to get you on the treadmill. So that's the goal. I think we should do that now so that it's pre-holiday.
That's fine.
And then
fine.
You get in the routine.
I'm cool with that.
So we'll get that moving along.
All right.
Anything else to add since you haven't hit the treadmill? Did I erase training on the...
No, it's still there.
It's still there?
Oh. So is training.
Oh.
I know.
Maybe it was to taunt you.
Taunt me. But you had a good... You had a big week this week.
Well, I wouldn't say good.
Big. I changed it to big after.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. So I did my first 16-mile run. So I moved my runs all around this week to accommodate life.
Right.
And not ideal, but... It's what had to be done. So I did. I got out early on Friday before work and did my 16-mile run.
Mm-hmm.
And the that 16-mile run was a very good 12-mile run. It was a pretty good 14-mile run. Those last 2 miles, I bonked.
Not so much fun.
Not so much fun. Although I kept okay pace. I mean, like, it's not like I got to 20-minute pace at that point. I mean, I still was, you know, 15 minutes or maybe even under for one of them. I don't remember. But what I can say is that I have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
It is the furthest I've ever gone.
Yes.
I didn't give up. I kept going. Got it finished.
You finished it.
And I learned a lot about what I need to do for fueling. So where the difference comes in for those that don't run insane distances, sometimes I do at the end of these runs think running is stupid.
Yeah.
But I like to do it, and I'm going to keep going. But when you run these distances, you deplete your glycogen stores. So you deplete like all the energy that's not coming from fat. Like you just deplete them.
Right.
And I can use fat for fuel, but you still have to have something going on in there. So you still need, during that time, you need fuel. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some people that are completely adapted and they can run on fat. Like they can just eat nuts or something on the run and they're fine.
Yeah.
Most of us mere mortals. This is the one time where a simple sugar comes in handy.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a lot of it.
No.
And I didn't have enough food with me. I didn't have enough calories with me. I didn't have enough electrolytes with me. I didn't have enough water.
Well, you didn't even drink all the water that you had with you because I dumped some of it.
I understand. And that's what happens when you start to get... that's what happens when you bonk.
Yeah.
So you don't want to eat. You don't want to drink. So I just got through the run at that point and then forced myself to drink water when I got home.
Okay.
And I'm still not caught up on my hydration.
Yeah.
I mean, I really blew it. And part of the issue is that it's 38 degrees out, right? So you're not thinking about it as much because you don't get as thirsty from the heat.
Right.
But in the end, it was just a poor...
Yeah.
It was just a poor plan on my part. So I'm going to try some different fuels. I'm going to order some different things and keep trying.
Yeah.
That's all I can do. That's why you train, though. So, like, I'm not disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm not like... It was a decent run. I got through it. I just have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And part of that is a hydration and fueling strategy.
Right. Which has always been like the hardest part for you.
It has. But over time, it hasn't been an issue because I don't need it in a 10-mile run.
Right.
I need a little bit in a 12.
Right.
Or a half marathon. I only need a little bit of it.
Right.
I don't need a ton.
Yeah.
So because of that, I haven't needed to...
explore further.
Right. And now it's time. So I will be trying products and I'll talk about what I try and what works and what doesn't work. And fueling is so individual.
Yeah.
So I was talking with Rob a little bit about it.
Uh-huh.
And he brought up that he uses UCAN.
Oh, you didn't like that one.
I know. And that's he's like, it really works for me. And I've heard this over and over from
people.
Isn't
that the one that like it upsets your stomach or something, right?
I can't stand the taste of it.
Oh,
like,
that one was, the taste. Okay.
I tried every single flavor they have.
Yeah.
I tried 3 flavors of bars that they have. I couldn't choke any of them down. And that's unusual. So there's something in their product.
Right.
That I just don't like.
Yeah.
Because I will... as evidenced by my ample gut, will eat anything. So I'm really trying to understand that. What upsets my stomach are goo.
The gel, the goo brand gel.
Those upset my stomach. I had a Hammer gel this time.
Uh-huh.
And I've had that twice now. And both times it did not upset my stomach.
Well, that's good.
It's just I needed like 4 of them and I had 1.
So maybe get a couple more of those.
Well, and there's a couple of brands that I want to try, you know, so I haven't had good luck with a lot of these things because they're very artificial.
Yeah.
And I don't like, that's the one thing I don't like is very, very artificial. So you can taste artificial, Tailwind.
Yeah.
And those are 2 products that people swear by.
Right.
Gentle on the stomach, long-term energy.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, most people I think I know use those pretty religiously.
Mm-hmm. Well, you tried Tailwind, too, right?
I did. I know. I didn't like them. I had to give them away. I don't like the artificial flavor type stuff. So I'm going to try a couple others like that just to see if I can find one that works. If not, I got to keep experimenting with food.
Yeah.
And that's it's hard to eat on the run.
Didn't you say like some people use like baby food and stuff?
They do. I mean, that's one of the that's one of them that I will look at is baby is baby food.
Like in the pouches.
In the pouches. A little pouchy.
But well, we have applesauce in pouches.
We do. We do.
I wonder if that would is that or
sure.
is that
That could work.
That could work.
Yep. But again, it's
But there's a lot of sugar in there.
But that's okay what you need. During this time
during
I'm not
what,
I'm
that's
not
that's what you need.
Yeah, I don't know if the word is need, but I'm just not concerned.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's going to get burned off.
Right.
What I need to do, though, for sure, is start earlier. So I don't really feel like I need fuel until I'm at 10 miles. Well, that's too late. Right? So I did it at 6 miles, I want to say, this time.
Okay.
And then I tried another one at like 12, and it just wasn't working. And that's when I knew I was going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
It was after that 12th mile where I couldn't really eat or drink the way I wanted to. I knew mm-hmm. I was getting to a bad spot and I had 4 miles to go.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
So what I think I needed to do is probably take something in closer to the 3 mile mark and then six and then nine.
So more often. 12.
Like, yes, early and often.
Early and
I
often.
Guess would be, I think, the better strategy in this case.
Well, you have another 16 miles this weekend.
I do. And then the week after that, 16 more. So there's plenty of long runs to get this right, but that's why we train. That's why we go through this. So,
right.
I talked with Andy about it too, and you know he's not concerned.
No, you'll figure it out.
So that's the big thing.
Yeah.
For me, and just gonna keep training.
Big milestone for you.
So another thing that I posted,
yes.
and I'm curious to see, I posted an article from Runner's World titled "My Sensible Diet is Boring, but it may be the healthiest way to eat."
Oh, I don't.
You didn't read this, right?
I didn't read that.
Good, because now we get to get your reaction live on
live.
The air. I'm literally going to read this article because I think it's that important that we read through
wow.
it.
Wow. Okay.
So the article, "My Sensible Diet is Boring, but it may be the healthiest way to eat," will be linked up in the show notes. It was posted on Runner's World on November 29th, 2018. By Paul Kitta, K-I-T-A. I think this may have appeared first in Men's Health, but I'm not sure. But here's the way it starts. "I'm not sure when I decided to make the leap, and I didn't think the decision was all that crazy at the time. I'd always been a skinny guy, hovering around 145 pounds throughout high school and college. I ate and drank like crap back then. But my inferno of a metabolism quickly incinerated the Pringles barbecue chips, Yoo-hoo, and Keystone Lights I used to throw into my gullet." Keystone Light. It's been a while. "After college, though, my high-performance fat-burning furnace began to sputter and required additional maintenance. At one point, people started telling me I had, quote, filled out. This was around the time when the paleo diet was first unearthed. But for some reason, I couldn't find the appeal of living a life devoid of cheese, oatmeal, and peanut butter. Plus, didn't the cavemen from that era lead short, dysentery-filled lives? Atkins was also a thing. So was the South Beach diet. The Duchess of York was hawking Weight Watchers for some reason."
Okay, I think I did read this.
"Money? Yet everyone I knew on these systems, quote-unquote, seemed to like talking about their diet more than they actually like being on the diet itself." Okay. "I don't think it's a coincidence that at the heart of the word diet is the word die, which is what most trend diets," I think you meant trendy, "but it's what most trend diets make you want to do when you're in the third week of not eating cheese, oatmeal, and peanut butter despite your new pant size. And at least what I could tell through observation, those diets only seem to work in the short term. Maybe I should have been a weight loss scientist because a 2017 study reviewed the results of 25 weight loss programs and found that commercial weight loss programs frequently fail to produce modest but clinically meaningful weight loss with high rates of attrition, suggesting that many consumers find dietary changes required by these programs unsustainable. So I did something else. I decided to collect all the advice I'd read from the vast body of scientific research and dietitians I talked to as food and nutrition editor of Men's Health magazine and try to eat a sensible diet. Here's what's happened. How I ate a sensible diet. First off, I decided to eat real food. I prioritized anything that had one ingredient. Chicken, beef, salmon, romaine lettuce. Well, that's not so good lately. Tomatoes, peanuts, milk, lobster, eggs, butter, avocado, blueberries, and I think you get the point. Did I occasionally enjoy a processed food product that contained something weirdo sounding like guar gum and carrageenan? Sure, but I made no bullshit food. Oh, now I gotta put the disclaimer up. The centerpiece of each of my meals, which segues into my next point. I made no food evil. Trendy diets love demonizing entire food groups or nutrients. On a low-fat diet, you have to eat things like snack wells because God forbid you actually enjoy a real cookie. On keto, carbs are so bad they'll beat up a nice old grandmother crossing the street. On Dave Asprey's bonkers bulletproof diet, you'd better only buy a special brand of coffee because a study he sort of read from 1832 says that mycotoxins in commercial coffee will turn you into a half man, half bat with one sole purpose, to consume every last one of those you love. By telling people what they can't have on a diet, I think that makes them want more. If I told you I had a brand new diet called the cotton candy diet, where you could eat anything in the world except for cotton candy, what does that make you want to do? You want to find the nearest carnival barker and load up on some of that oh-so-sweet, pink, fluffy, spun sugar, don't you? So I eat cookies, I eat carbs, I even drink coffee supposedly loaded with mycotoxins, and all my loved ones are still standing, Dave Asprey. He doesn't like Dave Asprey.
Apparently not.
Lastly, I ate fruits and vegetables with every meal and cut back on booze and desserts. This is not hard. I have two clementines or a banana or a split broiled tomato for breakfast. I eat a big salad of mixed greens or a side of coleslaw or a ripe juicy pear for lunch. For dinner, I'll saute a mess of spinach, olive oil, garlic, pan on medium heat, salt and pepper done, or grate a quick carrot side salad or dice and roast some sweet potatoes. I do this while I'm cooking my proteins. I try to shoot for 30 grams of protein at each meal, which I just eyeball. That's about a palm-sized piece of chicken, fish, whatever, and a fiber-rich side, kale, whole grains, blah, blah, blah. And then I either choose to have beer with or after dinner or a simple dessert, like a slice of pie or a piece of dark chocolate. If I'm not craving something sweet, I'll have a cup of tea. Yeah, tea. So far, other than picking on people who want to create a lifestyle,
yeah,
doesn't sound all that different from what we do, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, we eat protein.
Right.
He doesn't talk about fat. I think fat's important as a component. But he does talk about olive oil. He talked about avocados early on.
Yeah.
So far, not bad.
No.
Right? My biggest challenges, the holidays, parties with buffet table set up, red lobsters, endless shrimp. But you know what? I see these things for what they are. Off-seasons, within a year-long perspective of healthy eating. Diets like Whole30 put god-awful endpoint stages or phases to eating plans, which grow ever more restrictive with the passage of time. They argue these drawdown periods help the dieter acclimate to change. To me, this is the equivalent of gradually turning thumbscrews tighter. Why take the fun out of eating? My biggest successes on a sensible diet. I've maintained a healthy weight of 155.
How tall is this dude?
Doesn't matter. Give or take 5 pounds ever since reaching a max of 170. Post-college. I haven't incurred any terminal diseases. I have boundless energy for my wife and kid. I'm happy. I like food. I don't have to bore people.
Oh, this guy shouldn't even be writing this article.
Or madden restaurant servers with an endless list of things I can't eat. I don't have to go to a health food store because those places smell weird. I don't have to count points because that sounds terrible and I'm bad at math. I don't have to give Dave Asprey any more money. I don't have to feel guilty. And did I mention I like food? My lifelong lessons from a sensible diet. Eating should be enjoyable, not temporarily enjoyable. In the I had a stressful day, so I'm going to pound this $5 hot and ready little Caesar pizza in my car in the parking lot enjoyable. I'm talking about the kind of enjoyable where you don't feel shame because you maxed out your Weight Watchers points or the day for the day or accidentally ate a spoonful of non-paleo peanut butter or didn't put Dave Asprey's brain octane oil on your sushi roll.
He really does not like that.
Dave Asprey.
No.
Apparently
it's the devil.
Here's my main takeaway from 10 years of eating sensibly. And this is in bold. If the plan you have for what you feed yourself causes you more stress and adds more work to your already busy life, you are not eating well. If you're meticulously counting calories or carbs, or worse yet, tiny milligrams of sodium, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Distance yourself from the enjoyment of eating real food and continuously subject yourself to the downward spiral of yo-yo weight loss and weight gain perpetuated by trendy diets that only really truly care about one thing, how much money they make off of you. The best diet isn't sexy. It doesn't have celebrity endorsements. There's no plan you have to buy into. Hell, it doesn't even have a marketing strategy. The best diet is one that is based on the inclusion of healthful foods, not the exclusion of food groups, and will last you far longer than the lifespan of whatever Atkins, Zone, Whole30, South Beach, low-fat, low-carb, paleo, Mesozoic, bulletproof, or keto plan is the hot new thing. Now, what's for dinner? So, what's your hot take on this?
Well, I mean, every person's different. They have their own body image that they need to deal with, but I mean, it sounds like he really never had a weight issue. Like, I get it. So if someone told you you're filling out, so you took that to mean you're gaining weight and you want to lose weight. Okay, fine. But to go on a diatribe like that, I thought like he gained a lot and he was struggling. Like, you know, like 50% of America struggles, not, you know, this. You know, oh, I'm weighing 155. Oh, shit. I mean.
But he weighed 170.
He weighed 170. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everyone has their own issues with their body, right? And 170 for him, he felt that was overweight. That's fine. And everyone's allowed to write whatever they want to write and publish, get it published. That's great. More power to them. But he was just
a jerk.
I do remember you posting this, and I did read part of this article, but I didn't finish the whole thing. Like, I didn't get to the end.
But you got
distracted.
You got story time with Pete instead on the podcast.
I did, because I'm like, why does this sound familiar? I'm like, did we do this on the podcast already? And I'm like, no, I read this article because I remember you posting it, and I must have gotten distracted with work or something, and I never finished it. But yeah. He's just an angry person, apparently, and like just puts down everybody's what anyone wants to do. And some of that stuff works for people. Just because it didn't work for him or he doesn't see the value in it, why you got to be so negative?
Well, I think what's interesting here is basically what he's advocating are a lot of things that we advocate also, which are single ingredient foods are a very good thing.
Right.
Right. We agree with that.
Yes.
We agree that you shouldn't eat a lot of processed foods.
Right.
Right? However, what he skips over and is by putting down people,
yeah,
you're not inviting them to the party.
No.
When you're basically telling anybody who's fat, hey, idiot, don't try a diet. You've got to change your life to this sensible way of eating.
Doesn't always work for everybody.
That's number one, it doesn't always work for everybody. Number two, some people cannot have those processed carbs every once in a while because it's like a drug to them.
Right.
And I know because I have been struggling lately by having a little bit, it's made me want more and more and more.
Yep.
You wouldn't tell somebody who is addicted to cocaine,
just have a little bit. You'll be fine.
You'll be okay. Or alcohol.
Well, it's
or
also, like some people use like diets as like a Kickstarter too to get them going. And then they move to a sensible diet at that point or something like that. You know, it's like some people need that, you know, regimen of do this for 30 days and then, you know, they can continue on. Like people, some people out there need that, and to put them down, I don't agree with that.
Well, and one person sensible is not another person sensible.
Right.
And I can only take me as the example. I mean, I've literally had the medical work done to say, hey, you don't process carbohydrates like grains,
right,
and sugar very well. So you better watch it or you're going to be diabetic.
Right.
And you'll have things like fatty liver and heart disease and all those other things. So you don't know me, dude.
Yeah. It was just a very negative. It didn't have to be negative.
Well, I unfortunately feel that those of us who struggle with our weight believe that people who don't struggle with their weight, like Paul, are looking down on us.
Yeah.
And this article basically says,
yeah,
I'm looking down on you because if you just do things sensibly,
you can obviously weigh 155.
Right. I'm disappointed in Runner's World.
Yeah, for running something like
that. I don't understand what they're thinking with their online content.
Yeah.
They've posted now how to band at a race without being an asshole, and now they're going to publish something like this. Neither one of these is helpful.
Yeah.
When you band at a race, you're stealing, period. That means you just jump into the race and run it, even though you haven't paid for it.
That's not right. You can't do that.
Right. But they published an article about how you can do that and not be an a-hole, right?
What?
And now they're publishing this. I think it's clickbait garbage, and I've fallen into it. I'm giving them pub by reading it.
Right.
But I think it's important to say that we have a lot of people who don't have a weight problem that listen to this show.
Yeah.
Some of them are even patrons. Never once has any of them talked like this. So I know it's not everybody who doesn't have a weight problem.
No,
right?
Of course not.
There's no golden ticket. There's no golden way of eating that's going to get you where you need to be. You do what you need to do.
Yeah.
I think there are, we will advocate simple rules, right?
Yeah.
That we think are fairly universal, but not for everybody.
But not for everybody.
Some people have a metabolism like a furnace, whether they're 18 or they're 58.
My father.
Or 70, whatever he is.
I know.
I was just really disappointed in Runner's World running this. I kind of want to cancel my subscription because I don't want to support this kind of journalism. I don't think it's fair to us at all. So maybe I'm overreacting, but I don't really care.
You're allowed to. No, because I was listening to it.
Well, it's our show, so I mean,
yeah, we can do whatever
we want.
And
it's free. And people can hit delete.
Yeah, so. Which they do anyways. But I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to tag Runner's World in this one. And if I can find Paul Kitta's handle, I'll tag him too.
Tag him.
And
let me
take a step back, though. I would invite Paul to come on the show and defend this.
Right.
I would love to have a discussion
to
understand
his thinking,
his real perspective, because these are just words that he put down in an article that was probably bigger, got cut back.
Right.
This gets edited.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I do believe these are his thoughts, but I'd like to understand what's behind it.
Yeah.
That's part of the goal for me in 2019 with our show is when we have guests to try to find other perspectives. Like I've got a couple of really good ideas. Well, let me rephrase that. I have ideas.
Ideas.
I believe they're good ideas in my head.
Maybe a little bit.
To have
mediocre.
that's pushing it. To have some people on the show and get some different perspectives, right? I don't mind that at all. Mm-mm. I think we need to do that. But I just, out of not being able to get in his head within the context of this article alone,
right?
I feel like I'm getting preached at by a dude that has never had a weight problem.
Right.
And that's like me standing next to an alcoholic going,
so what? Don't drink.
Why don't you just not drink? Right. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. So.
Yeah.
Angry, too angry. I have no idea. But I was not thrilled.
Not thrilled.
Not thrilled.
I don't want to be preached at by a guy that really doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, he does. I mean, He's got to be an expert on the subject. I mean, he's spent a decade as a food and whatever editor.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's never lived it.
What he hasn't lived is really having a weight issue. Like, really, really, really.
Right. Unless he's like 2 feet tall.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't.
2 feet tall and 155 pounds. That'd be pretty.
I guess. That's one big toddler. But, you know, all the comments below, or at least the ones that they're showing, right, are all, you know, great stuff. Absolutely. Enjoy everything in moderation. Everything? Everything in moderation? Cigarettes in moderation? Heroin in moderation? I mean, that's that is one of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
You cannot do everything in life in moderation.
No.
That is a ridiculous mantra. Sorry. And if that's what works for you with food,
yeah,
that's different.
Yeah.
But everything in moderation is a little bit, that's off-putting to me. I love this article. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe we're the minority of it all.
Amen. One dude says, lost me at cut back on the booze. Loved the article. Anyway.
That's funny.
Be careful of trying to purchase just the cookbook. After you order, they bait you with other products. I just got snookered. I don't know what that means. I don't know what I don't know what cookbook they're talking about. But anyway, that was something that I just wanted to kind of.
Yeah.
As we're heading into the holidays, which is hard for everybody.
Yes.
But it's really hard for people with weight issues.
Yeah.
In terms
we always
of,
struggle at this time of year.
Everybody does, right? I mean, if I can maintain through this period, just get
that's
through
a win.
The year,
it's a win.
And then really concentrate on it. But if you can lose during this time, think about how much, if you can lose during this time of year.
Yeah.
Then you can lose any time of year because this is the big dog right here, right?
Right, yeah.
These 6 weeks between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Are the big ones. So, you know, I think that we need to just keep encouraging each other to do our best, lean on each other for help and advice and caring.
Yeah.
Not tell them put down the whole 30 book. Or apparently he wants us to literally throat punch Dave Asprey if we've
ever meet him. Poor Dave.
I mean,
I don't know him, but
here's the weird part. He's mad because the guy wants to make money.
Oh, how dare he want to make a living?
Paul, you can come on the show and I can ask you directly.
Did you not make any money off
this
article?
Did you work for free?
For those 10 years.
Because I'm pretty sure we're all trying to make money.
Exactly.
Whether he's trying to make money with legit products or not, different subject. But he seems really angry. The dude wants to make money.
I know. So. I don't understand.
All right. I'm going to get off my high horse.
Okay.
And if anybody knows Paul.
Yeah. Good. Let us know.
Please. Let's get him on the show. And I assume his last name is Kita.
K-I-T-A. I think so. That sounds right.
Kita. That's
no,
awful close
Kita.
To Keto. He would change it.
He would change it if that was
It's not
case.
Asprey. We know it's not the last name of Asprey.
No. I say Kita.
Kita.
We go Kita. Totally.
All right. Well, that was the big thing that I wanted to discuss. Although I do have.
Oh, no. Not more names to read, do you?
No. I haven't even checked like any of our stuff. I don't know if anybody's left a comment or review.
Why the hell?
I think the debate that I was having with my son last night is one I'd like to bring up, though. Speaking of poor foods for you.
Okay. Oh.
So. Last night, talking to Daniel, and he talks about how he loves popsicles. And so I'm like, oh, what kind of popsicles? And he's like, purple or red or whatever. And then somehow it comes out that I'm like, oh, so what kind? Oh, that's what I said. I'm like, what kind? He's like, the kind that you push up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't push up a popsicle.
Well, yeah. What about the push pops?
That's a push pop. That's a
push-up.
But
that's on a stick.
Hold on. We're getting there. Okay. You're skipping ahead. And a push-up is not a popsicle. It's a frozen treat. So
I'll argue that in a second.
So he says, you know, the kind you push up. And eventually I realize he's talking about, I think we called them flavor. I think they were like flavor pops or something.
Yeah, they're like little plastic bag, plastic tube thingies.
Tubies.
Plastic tubes that you have frozen.
They come
ice
liquid.
In it. Yeah.
And in a giant thing, and you just take a big handful, throw them in the freezer.
Yep.
And he's claiming those are popsicles. And my argument was that's not a popsicle.
It's not.
Because there's not a stick.
But then why is a push pop not a popsicle? It's on a stick.
It's not called a popsicle, though. It's literally not called it. It's literally called something else. And my argument to Daniel was the name of the stick is a popsicle stick. And so, of course, I had to go look up the original patent.
That's right. Tonight you looked up the patent.
I looked up the patent.
You brought it up to me, and I agree. And Lily was
in both camps.
Was in both camps because she likes to make everyone happy.
She's Switzerland.
She likes to play Switzerland. Michaela just wanted out of her high chair because she was done eating had no opinion whatsoever. But I agree that a popsicle has to be on a stick.
Yes, and the original patent proved that.
So then you go and look up the patent because then you just Google popsicles and Daniel's little tubey popsicle came up. You were trying to figure out how. It's like in a tube. It's a tubey popsicle.
It's a
plastic tube.
Well, the part that I will agree with him, those are delicious. And at the bottom, like you get that, like the little bit at the bottom melts.
Yeah.
And then there's this that one little, that one little ice cube like piece would sit in the bottom and you'd take it all at the end. Oh, it's delicious. Just a giant thing of sugar water.
I just threw out like a ton of popsicles that we had in our freezer that had been in there for years that we bought many years ago.
Well, I was on a kick.
Yeah, you were all about the popsicles because we got like the low sugar, you know.
Well, it was calories in, calories out.
Right. And so they were like 60 calories. You're like, this is great. And I was like trying to make room in the freezer for like a bag of ice or something. And I'm like, what the hell's in this thing? And I pull out the drawer and it's just like 30 popsicles in here. But they were popsicles. They had a stick. So, yeah.
Yeah. Because popsicles have a stick.
I guess a push pop doesn't. It's not on the stick. You use the stick to push it up. So.
You do.
Okay. All right.
It's hence the name push up.
Right. So the stick doesn't go through.
No.
The thing. It's all at the bottom of it. So.
Yeah. It sits on a little platform.
It's a platform for the deliciousness of the frozen treat.
Yeah. And if it's. Well, okay, we need to stop talking about this. This is not good. But I just thought it was an interesting debate.
How long did you guys debate that on the way home?
It was at dinner last night.
It was at dinner?
Yeah. No, that we had some really good. Was it at dinner or after? I think it might have been after dinner, actually. We had just like really good talks. We talked about this. We talked about a rivalry that Lily has in her band.
Yes, the flutes against the.
No, let's not get into this. I mean, we're not gonna call anybody out. Let's just say there's a rivalry.
Because the kids might listen.
It's like West Side Story in their band. And then we started talking more about college.
Daniel or Lily?
Both.
Wow.
Just in general terms.
Okay. Hey, that's a step.
So one of them said they would prefer to stay near home.
Daniel.
And one of them said that they would prefer to go away.
Lily.
Opposite.
Oh, well, that doesn't surprise me.
Daniel's thinking about like Anchorage, like University of Alaska Anchorage.
He's such a loner. He just wants it to be like no one around him.
I suggested like University of Maine, Nova Scotia.
See, I didn't know if Lily would change her mind. You know, she's like at that, you know, at Lily's age, me and my mom, I didn't want to get far away from my family at this age. So I figured all girls felt this way, but she loves her. I mean, she's a mama's girl.
She is totally a
mama's
girl.
So she wants to stay close to home.
Yeah. And I don't, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's plenty of schools down near close to their home.
Well, that's what we were talking about. You know, there's Bradley.
Yeah.
There's
University of Illinois is not that far from them.
It's too
far. Or is
far
that too
to
far? Oh, she wants
Illinois
to,
State.
Oh, she wants to like live at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, live near home at least.
Okay, because I would encourage
she's talking
getting
like,
out of the house.
Well, but if you need to transition to that, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and plus it's her life.
Yeah, no.
So she'll get
yeah.
to make choices.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's Bradley. There's Illinois State's not far.
No.
Illinois Wesleyan's right there.
Yeah, there's a lot of good schools.
There's Monmouth.
Oh, right, yeah.
Eureka College.
Yep.
College home of President Ronald Reagan.
President Ronald Reagan, yep.
So there's a lot of good schools.
Yeah.
That are, like, right there.
Right.
But it was interesting that you got that wrong. And
well, I said that in due to recent stuff that's been going on and everything. So I kind of thought, like, and like I said, like, a lot of 12-year-old girls, they just want to get away. Like, this, because your emotions are crazy. You just want to get away from everyone. So that's kind of where I was thinking my mind was going.
Yeah, I've never been a 12-year-old girl, so I can't comment.
You can't comment on that, but I can.
But Daniel's like, I'm out.
That doesn't surprise me, actually. It doesn't surprise me that he said, like, Anchorage either, because I can see him going someplace, but I can see him going to, like, a rural someplace. Like, he's not going to a big city. He's not going to NYU.
Right.
That's...
Well, I think he...
I mean, he could.
He could.
But I just don't see that being... Like, if he wanted to go there for something specific that NYU is great for, then yes. But I'm saying I don't see him going to a big city. I don't really see him doing that.
I have no idea what he'll do.
I'm just glad that you talked about college.
Yeah, but that was it. I mean, not like what I'll study, where I've thought about. Just, I see ya. Like, I got to go.
He just wants to get away from us.
No, I think he just wants new experiences a little bit, too.
Yeah.
And whatever the kids want to do is great.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, if anybody knows who left that 3-star review a while ago, let them know that we talked about these kids for like quite a long time today.
See?
Maybe they'll feel better.
Maybe, yeah. There we go.
It was fun. It was fun conversations with them.
That's good.
Last night. And we watched curling. Lily wasn't thrilled.
she was probably on her phone.
What? She's like, I don't understand the point of this. Like, what's the point of any sport? All right, you got anything else?
Nope, I got nothing.
All right, we should get this ridiculousness done.
Yes.
All right, you've been listening to episode 58. This still cracks me up, people listen to this. 58 of the Fat Man Chronicles. The music is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. You can find us on social media. We've got a website. Rate, review. That would be great. Subscribe. All that good stuff. I'm pretty sure that I don't need to go through this every time. But they say that's what you're supposed to do.
You're supposed to do, because what if this is the one, like, a brand new listener?
True. All right, so Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, @FatManStories, FatManChronicles.com. You can go shop there. Click on the shop button. We're on Spotify.
Yes.
I don't know why I've left now on Spotify up there, but we are. But seriously, rating and reviewing that's how other people do find the show. And, you know, they can hear me read Runner's World articles to them. All right. That'll do it. Everyone get out there and be better today.
I was not hiding. Unsure, and I was really